Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Questlog Club, a book club media share slash excuse to finish more games. My name is Daedra.
My name is Robin, and I am currently 12 episodes into Kamen Rider Fies.
My name is Sammy, and Hideaki Kamiya is my sworn enemy.
Thank you all for joining us.
Thank you today, for having us.
Thank you.
Today, we'll be talking about a game very near and dear to my heart. Devil May Cry for the PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360 and PC. Really, really cool game. That's what you guys played, right?
I played the PS2 version.
Ninja Theory.
The Ninja Theory one.
Yeah, oh,
we're on the same page.
I missed. I'm sorry. Oh shit, I misunderstood. Oh yeah, no, totally.
you know, it's okay. We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. It's, you know, it'll be fun.
Yeah, that's what you play, right, Sam? DMC Devil May Cry.
Yeah, my favorite game in the whole series. Yeah. I love, you know, Combi Christ. Good music pick.
Noisia.
Good music pick. Art direction.
Yeah.
That art direction's pretty solid.
Yeah.
I love Dante in that game. Yeah.
But before we get into our riveting discussion about Ninja Theory's Devil May Cry, how was your week, Robin?
It's been pretty good. Nothing too adventurous. I didn't watch a lot more Kamen Rider. At least Fies. I haven't been too far in that. I watched a little more. I watched Gotchard today specifically, the newest episode of that is the current ongoing series, and that's been heating up. The main character has been having to kill his Pokemon, and he got really upset and turned into an egg. I'm not going to explain any of that.
That sounds like a plot line for like a Digimon series.
That's been really fun. I finished Crow Country. Finished Crow Country finally.
How really
enjoyed that.
I
want to go through on the harder difficulty, A Murder of Crows.
That's a good name.
Just to see it. Yeah, it is. It's a really good name for harder difficulty. That, and then also to slightly backtrack and clarify, or I guess rationalize, but more even-headedly look at or come back to something. Last week got very annoyed about the state of the tech company Microsoft. And yes, so they are raising the price of Game Pass. But it also doesn't actually affect me because they only raised the high end. They did not raise the middle end, the middle tier. So I probably will be keeping my subscription, but I do want to take a concerted effort to, if there's a game that I really like on Game Pass, I'm going to buy it elsewhere to support those developers more directly.
That's what I did with Hi-Fi Rush when it came out.
That's a good idea.
I played it through Game Pass, and I honestly enjoyed it so much that I just bought it on Steam.
Because I just want to support developers more directly, and then, like, there's some stuff that I'm not worried about. Like, I don't need to buy a copy of Persona 3 Reload because it's Persona. I'm gonna own it eventually because I need to own every Persona game physically. That game is it's fine. It's literally now Persona, not SMT. Persona is now a tentpole of Sega as a whole, so I don't need to worry about that. But yeah, that's kind of been it for me otherwise. Trying to look at some anime for a thing I'm working on recorded some audio, but otherwise, yeah, that's been it.
Nice. Sounds great. How about you, Sam? How's your week been?
Oh, it's been pretty chill. I finished Xenosaga episode 1 finally. And I think I can pretty safely say that's like probably one of my favorite PS2 RPGs ever made. It's really good. It's really, really good.
That is a notable thing for you. You are quite a fan of PS2 RPGs.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, like initially I wasn't really sure where it was all going, and I was, you know, like I just had heard a lot about it as a game for like a long time. There were a lot of people telling me, "Oh, you're going to be so bored. Oh, you're going to be fall asleep. Oh, there's so many cutscenes." And I was like, "I don't really mind that. I don't know." And after playing it, like, I fucked heavy with it. I thought it was really, really, really good. It nails those kind of big, epic space opera vibes really well. And, like, the little character moments. I mean, it's like I said last week. The character, or last episode, the character, like, the small little character bits are really well handled. You kind of get good characterization for pretty much almost everybody in the party. There's like one or two members like Ziggy that don't really get enough, but like, yeah, very, very, very good, compelling game. If it stays in my favorites, will kind of depend on where the other two episodes go, but I'm hoping for the best. And I trust Takahashi's vision, because Xenogears is really good, and this seems to be carrying on that spirit.
Totally. So what is it just like the cast? What's making it like really, really click for you, if you don't mind me asking?
It's definitely the cast. Like, so for me, I'm not super big into, so like I like sci-fi, but a big problem that I have with like high concept sci-fi stuff is like it'll kind of throw you into a lot of terminology. It'll throw you into a lot of things. And it's not that I can't learn these things, but like, I've never really been like a lore person in media. That's not really my interest. If I'm watching something or getting into something, you know, unless it is going for something really specific with that, I'm more interested in the characters of a story and like what they're doing with those characters or those themes. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's a game that really, and not that other RPGs don't do this, it's just, I think its strongest element is definitely like the characters. It's the characters, their relationships between each other, their dynamics, like the little like moments that just kind of give them more texture. I don't know how to put it, but like, so there's a character. So like, for example, there's a character name. So like the main character's name is Shion. And like, she's characterized pretty early on as being kind of like a workaholic. And as you play more and more of the game, you kind of get this bigger picture as to why. But you also kind of get the little details of how it affects her relationships with like her subordinate Alan, with like Cosmos, and like what her relationship with her is, with like the people that she meets, like where her focus is. Like, it's a lot of small shit like that that I think really kind of fleshes everybody out. And almost every character kind of gets that same consideration, which I think is really cool. So it's definitely the characters. It's the characters, and then there's also just insane moments. Like, spoilers, I guess. Or not I guess, it is. So there's a bit where, like, one of the characters, Momo, gets captured. This is, like, probably the most famous scene from this game. But, like, the villain captures one of the party members named Momo. And he fucking, like, does this whole theatrical bit where he, like, he's walking around. He's, like, and he, like, he's surrounded by essentially the bodies of, like, dead, like, replicants. Or, like, in the game they're called Realians. But I just kind of view them as, like, replicants from, like, totally. Blade Runner. Because that's kind of what they are. And so he's around, like, a bunch of dead, like, child Realians. And it's, like, a really fucked up visual. And she sees this because she's a reality, and she's like, what the fuck? And he's like threatening her and like kind of using all this like poetic prose and shit and going like, oh, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like, I'm fucked up. And like, what is it? I, I'm trying to remember the exact dialogue because I'm kind of bad at like placing dialogue without looking at like the scene directly. But there's a bit at the end where like, so he's like threatening her the whole time, and it's like to make her feel very clearly like unsafe and shit. And like, he just ends up ripping his own head off with his hands. Like just like with his bare fucking hands.
That's okay, crazy. It's just like a neat subversion, basically.
Yeah, or maybe not a subversion, but more just like it has those little pockets of horror, those little pockets of like dread that I think it plays upon really well. It gets you to give a shit, and I think anything that can get you to give a shit is pretty cool in my book.
Yeah,
and then totally. And then Daedra, how was your week?
It sure happened. Yeah,
eventful.
Yeah.
Yeah. I played some Balatro. That game's still cool. I beat Anti 12, so I'm.
I haven't gotten past 11. I've never gone past 11, and I still haven't done any red stake yet. I've gotten close, but I haven't beaten any red stakes.
I had a really fucked up high card run.
Nice.
That was getting like 5 billion chips off a single hand, and it was silly. I finally beat, I think it was orange stake.
Oh, okay.
So I unlocked the last deck that I've been meaning to unlock. And I'm really excited about it. I don't know if you want spoilers.
No, tell me. I want to know.
Okay, the hot Balatro spoilers. So one of the decks is the erratic deck. And all of the cards in it are random.
Ooh.
Is the bit. So, I don't know. I really like the chaos of random starts in like roguelike-y types of games.
Yeah.
I love, for anyone who knows Binding of Isaac, I really enjoy Eden. They're not my favorite character, but they're up there.
Mm-hmm.
Because they just have a random start and it's weird and it kind of gets to the weird part immediately, and I really enjoy that. And that kind of improvisation. So yeah, a little bit of Balatro. I actually, earlier today, got some friends of mine into it, and I kind of tried to guide them through their first run, and they seem to have a lot of fun. So
yeah, I'm having an issue with, a good issue with Balatro of, I did the checker deck, I cleared a run with checker deck, and now it feels like such strong training wheels, that deck, because everything is so much easier that it's hard to go back to anything else.
I had a bit where I was grinding it just to get the antis up, and that's actually how I cleared orange anti, assuming I got the name right. Orange stake, I'm sorry, not anti. But I had a bit where I was grinding it so much that I kind of burnt out from the game and took a break for a while.
That's fair.
Aside from that, I've been kind of just doing chores in Final Fantasy 14 to gear up for Dawn Trail.
As
of this recording, not to date it too hard, is coming out in about a month.
Oh my god, I have to catch up. Fuck, god damn it.
Yeah,
I'm still on fucking Stormblood.
Oof. Yeah, that's a waste.
Yeah, I ain't catching up for a while. I have so much shit.
You know what, now that you cleared Xenosaga, like, you know, maybe that's your next JRPG adjacent thing.
Yeah, no, Sam, you can just do a whole video on Xenosaga. Done. Easy.
Yeah. Yeah. I
do the equivalent of, like, beating, when people beat, like, ending A of Nier Automata, and they're just like, oh, yeah, I'm done. I finished the game.
I said Xenosaga. Yeah, exactly. I meant Final Fantasy 14.
Oh my god, I have so much shit I gotta do for fucking Xenosaga, because have I told y'all the fucking list of shit I have for that?
Is that the one with the Bibble?
So that's one thing where like I have to read some Bible stories, but that's more like a it's a research portion of the video thing. The as far as what I'm covering, so there's all three games, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's in between 2 and 3, there's an anime. There's okay. two side games. And then, depending on if they get translated in time, there's a manga and a visual novel.
Oh, easy.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not the worst.
Like, that's like a weekend. Don't worry about it.
Oh, it's going to take so long. But, what is it? I feel like there's one thing I'm missing. No, those are the major things. Like,
you fell in love with poker missing. In a different way.
Oh, it's true.
Yeah.
It's true. I, what is it? For one last little additional Xenosaga thing. So in the game, I constantly ran into trouble making money in that game. Like, there are major points where, like, so the problem is that, like, you will run into the only enemies that give money are humans. And you spend, I would say, over half of that game not fighting humans. So,
I see.
So it's a thing where, like, there will be dungeons where you'll have money, where you'll get money from them, and then there will be dungeons where, unless you found money in chests, you're not coming back with shit. So
you're just, like, beating up wolves and you're not getting paid for it.
Yeah, because, like, why? And it's a thing where, like, I get the logic of it in the sense of, like, you know, why the fuck would a robot have money on it? That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
But, like, but also, like, for gameplay, it sucks. And so, it's probably so you can't, so there, but there's, like, so there's emails you get. And one of the ways in which you can get money is through this email side quest where you invest your money into different companies. And depending on who you invest in, you can get, like, a really big return. Like, the max I saw that you can get is, like, $200,000 by just doing that alone. And that's, like, by the end of the game. Or you can get, like, 200,000, and then before that you can get, like, 70,000, and et cetera, et cetera. But I fucked that up. I got the 70,000 one, didn't get the 200,000 one. And by that point, I was like, well, fuck, I don't know what to do. And so I was, like, looking into it, because I was like, I have no money, and I'm about to go into the final dungeon. Like, this doesn't feel right. Something feels wrong here. And people were just like, go to the fucking casino. Go play poker. And I was like, no way. That game is so stacked in your favor. So, like, by the time I started playing poker, I had, like, 1,000 G. It's like, it's like 950 G for 100 coins for poker. Or just for the games in general. And there's 4 levels. So say you play, like, level 1, that's, like, betting, like, 5 coins. Level 2 is 10. Level 3 is 50. Level 4 is 100 coins per bet. So you do level 4. So for me, I was a dumbass. I did level 4 immediately because I had 120 coins. I fucked up immediately. And I was like, oh, no. Then I went to, like, the level 10 or the 10 coin one. And I was like, okay. Failed the first hand. On the second hand, won, like, 160 coins back. Then from there, I just built up until I had about 200, 300 coins. Then I went back to the 100, and I flipped that into, like, 1,000.
Yeah, you truly, and then from, you truly got hooked.
And then from there, I played poker. There was one night where all I did in Xenosaga was play poker. I got my coins up to 200,000. Like, yeah. I was playing for fucking hours. Like, I was flipping high, I was flipping low. I learned that game in and out. I'm not even joking when I'm saying, like, when I'm writing this casino section, I'm writing a section about playing poker in that game, and in my head the entire time I'm just hearing Robert De Niro's voice for the bit. It's dumb as fuck. This is gonna be stupid as hell. And the way that you get money back out, because, like, you know, it's like when you go to a real casino, right? Like, you exchange money in and out, right? Like, you exchange for chips, and then you cash it out, right? So the difference is, you don't cash out for money, you cash out for prizes.
But, oh, and like, then you sell the prizes, I'm guessing?
Like, pachinko machine kind of a thing.
So, Well, yeah, like basically you just, or it's more like a prize booth. It'd be like if you went to a prize booth and like, so the way I kind of word it is like, it's like when you go to Chuck E. Cheese, right? You win tickets and then you take the tickets, or Dave and Buster's, you take your tickets, you go to the prize counter or whatever, and then you pick a prize. So you grab like those. So like for me, so what the strategy is that you win a shitload of money in poker, you win a shitload of coins, and then there's an item in there called like the recovery pack. You just buy like 99 of those, and it gives you four items. It gives you potions, it gives you ether potions, it gives you potions, ethers, revives, and cure-alls, and you just sell all of those, and then you just rinse and repeat. You just repeat that ad nauseum.
Okay, cool.
Until you're like, so basically you can break that game's economy in half, like, really easy. But to do it, you gotta play a little bit of poker. You gotta play a little bit of,
You gotta play the game.
Always double. Right. Also, other tip, always double or nothing.
Well, thank you everyone for joining our video poker podcast.
Yeah.
Yep.
But I would like to jump into little ditty I like to call Devil May Cry.
Yeah, and actually Devil May Cry 1, not the Ninja Theory.
We kind of clickbaited you. Yeah, we kind of got away with it.
Yeah, you know, it's this is really just my attempt to sneak in my semi-weird PlayStation 2 games. Uh-huh. They're not that weird. So what did everyone think?
So we've all played DMC 2 or DMC 1 multiple times.
I mean, I've played DMC 2.
That's where the 2 came from. Multiple times.
Yeah.
I wish I could say I was joking. Yeah, we've all played it multiple times. I tried to do it a little differently this time. Is normally I don't ever buy orbs from the shop. I just take what I can find. This time I pumped almost all of my red orbs into blue orbs and purple orbs. So I just had a shit ton of health and DT.
Smart.
And I didn't have that many moves.
I usually devote a lot of my orbs to purple orbs early on.
Okay.
Especially in DMC1, because Double Trigger's a little fucked in this game.
Yeah.
But how did that go for you?
I mean, I dug it. It definitely, it was fun. I wouldn't do it all the time, because I like having the moves available, and you miss out on a lot of stuff. Like, I don't think I ever got Air Hike properly. Yeah, I mean, Double Trigger is so prevalent in DMC1 that it makes Sparta like functionally useless up until the last mission, which you don't get Sparta long too much before then. But the fact that Sparta gives you no DT to start is just makes it totally unuseful.
It's a little funny that it's like kind of this big flashy ultimate sword that you start the next mission equipped, and always my first thing I do is just go back and equip Alistar.
Yeah, because
get this shit out of here. I want a Devil Trigger.
Yeah, no, like I know Sparta does as much damage as DT Alistar, but you don't get the health back. And that's...
And you don't... I mean, this probably didn't apply to your playthrough, but you don't get Devil Trigger exclusive moves.
Yeah, you also don't get the Devil Trigger moves.
Which is namely, like, Air Raid and stuff.
But... Yeah. I did have Air Raid that I will talk about a little bit later. Sam, go ahead and break Daedra's heart, why don't you?
So I want to lay this out real quick. Just for my gamer cred. I've beaten every Devil May Cry. I've beaten one multiple times, like twice before this. I've beaten two a few times. I've beaten three twice. I've beaten four and five like once, right? I've played the series. I genuinely do love the series. I didn't expect this to happen. I don't like Devil May Cry 1 that much. I dropped the game. I dropped it like halfway through. I just did not have the fucking patience for it. I didn't realize how much. So like, it's a thing where like, I can acknowledge like when I'm bad at something. I'm bad at this game, 100%. And I've always been pretty bad at Devil May Cry 1. But there's some times where things just aren't clicking for me. Because, like, I don't drop a lot of games. It's just not how I am. But, like, if I'm not fucking with something, I tend to just drop it because I'm just like, okay, I'm like, this clearly isn't for me. This isn't really my thing. Whatever. And I'm not going to say, like, oh, the game aged poorly. I don't think it aged poorly. I just think I don't mesh with its design because Bayonetta is kind of like this. But I think Bayonetta controls in a way that feels a lot better to me personally. And the movesets are so fucking expansive in that game in comparison that, like, I feel like I've been spoiled. And it's not fully fair to Devil May Cry 1 because, like, DMC 1 is, like, the first... It's the first one of these, like, at the time of its release, right?
Yeah, totally.
And so it's not fully... fair to be like, oh, well... You know, because, like, of course, there's going to be growing pains. There's going to be things that they're just shooting for. But there's something in, like, the arcade-like design that just became really tedious to me and not very fun to play through for me. There were things in the way the game was designed where I just... And again, I've beaten the game before, but, like, I don't know. I hit a point. I got to the ghost ship. And I just was like... And I had to fight one of those fucking ghost enemies again. And I was just like, I don't want to do this anymore. Like, I just said, like, I'm not enjoying this. Like, I'm not enjoying this at all. Like, there's things atmospherically I like about it. I like Dante. I like the cheesy cutscenes. I still love a big number of aspects of the game, but playing it is just not fun to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's... Yeah, it's weird. I wouldn't say that the controls of this game are bad in isolation. I wouldn't say that the camera angles, the framing of the camera is bad in isolation.
I disagree at points.
At points. There is one point in particular that I really dislike the framing. But I think together they come off as kind of funky. Especially since I've been just playing a game with tank controls, I think those two aspects, how the shot is framed and how you're supposed to move through it with the thumbstick, it doesn't come off the same way because forward is relative to Dante, and I wish forward was just.
Yeah.
Up on the D-pad compared to you're moving forward and then as the camera moves the framing of Dante changes readjust. And then if you slightly move your thumb you flip 180 and you're going a completely different direction and you have to readjust.
I think more accurately forward is like camera relative.
Yes, forward is camera.
Which is the problem. There's like a really you know, hey, shout-outs to Team Little Devils for making my job easy and giving a really good example of this early on. There's, like, that stupid spiral staircase that, for whatever reason, when you hit a certain point, the camera, like, just snaps to a 180.
Yes.
And like, I'm pretty sure everyone who has ever played that game, like, will immediately walk backwards because of that camera swap. It's bad.
When I had to get to the fucking other door... Or when it's the one where like you stop the gate, and you open like the gate. Or it's the one where like you open up the gate and you have to run down that spiral staircase and to the other room. And it's like it's not a far distance, but you have to get there quickly. And then you take the spiral staircase and it just fucking flips you around. So
and
you
it
end
fucks
up walking
you every time.
Yeah, so you end up walking back in.
This playthrough is the first time I ever did that in one go.
That's crazy. Actually did it. It's not the first time I've done it in one go, but I did manage it in one go.
Yeah, I managed it in one this time. So I'll get to my main case of me really my biggest issue with this game's camera. After I hear this from Sam, I know I'm not hosting, but I'm curious, Sam, why do you hate the Phantom fight so much? Because I feel like Phantom is like the most stripped down, like simple one. I want to know why you hate Phantom.
Why I hate Phantom. So it's majorly because, like, you know, I'm obviously, like, it's to set up a challenge. I get that. I'm not saying, like, oh, because, like, here's the thing. There's comparable fights in, like, the other games, right? Like, in 3, there's literally, like, I'm pretty sure these enemies are just literally in there. And, like, or at least, like, a similar one to them, right?
Devil May Cry 2 literally just has Phantom in it.
Oh, yeah.
Continue. I just think that's really funny.
That is really funny.
That is really funny. But anyway, so for me, it's more the fact that, like, because, I mean, it's all about timing. And so for me, it just kind of became a thing of, like, with kind of like the moveset that you have and just sometimes the camera and then sometimes, like, the way, like, there's specific ones. I feel like the really basic ones are easier to deal with. The ones that are, like, that turn red and have, like, the fucking devil horns or whatever, or the goat horns. I forget what they're called right now.
Wait, that's not, like, Phantom.
Wait, then what the fuck am I?
We're talking about the spider.
Oh!
Phantom's the big spider.
See, I don't know names.
Yes. Oh, okay, yeah, because you've been saying, okay, in the background.
Yeah, I was like, when you started talking about varieties, I was like, wait a minute, there's
one. Dear listener.
To be fair, there are other spider enemies.
Yes, there are
the rock spiders. I don't remember their name.
It's something with a K. It's a weird word. So yes, dear listener, Sam has been texting us how much she hates the Phantom fight. And I was assuming you were talking about the big spider. His name makes no fucking sense.
That's why, I'm embarrassing myself now because I did that whole thing at the beginning where I'm like, I've played every game like multiple times, I swear.
Fake fan.
And I don't even know the fucking names. What is it? So my main thing about the Phantom fight, so it's not the fight. The fights, I like learning the fight. It's the it's the fucking arena you fight him in.
Is it those pillars?
Yes.
Okay.
Those pillars got me killed so many fucking times. I swear to God. There were so many bits. That, and then also, like, there were just points where I feel like I dodged something pretty, like, good. Like, I feel like I timed my shit well, and I just got hit. But that could also just be me being bad. Like, I want to be very clear. I'm not, like, saying, oh, game bad because I'm shit. I'm acknowledging that I'm probably just not very, that not even probably, I'm not very good at Devil May Cry 1, but I have, I think I have valid problems with it.
No, totally. Whenever I fight Phantom, I just devil trigger and smack him in the face a bunch of times. So that's why I
typically try to jump and
surprise
and do Helm Breakers.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the reason I do that is there's actually a really cool thing where I believe Phantom has 2 hurt boxes. One kind of, you know, at the, like, obvious base midsection, and one kind of towards the back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you get it right, you can hit both of them and do double damage.
Okay, cool.
An intentional design thing, which I think is pretty neat, which gets into one of my favorite parts of this game. Mm-hmm. But Sam, I know why you dropped the game.
Why's that?
You didn't want to fight Nightmare again.
You can't expose me on the pod like this.
You didn't want to fight Nightmare.
Hate Nightmare. I will always hold by this. Fuck you, Kamiya, for putting that Nightmare. Fucking bullshit enemy in that game. Fuck off. I fucking hate Nightmare so goddamn much. If you fuck that fight up, you're doing a boss rush. Fuck you. Mm-hmm. Fuck you, Kamiya. Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, I
had to get that out.
No, get it out. It's good. The boss that I dislike the most, in terms of just regular boss fights, and it's the one that I have the camera problem with, is the final Griffin fight, where half of it he is just not visible.
That one sucks. Yeah. I had a point where he wasn't visible. And I couldn't hit him. I think he was behind something. I couldn't see him, so I was just like,
So what it was for me is he wasn't visible, and then I tried going into the little teleporter that takes you up to the second floor, and then I was in the top of it, which you're just in a little chamber that's like barely bigger than Dante, and then he just started shooting lasers at me, and I just got stuck and died.
Oh,
because I can't avoid them. There's no space for me to move. And so that happened a couple times. And yeah, just not being able to see Griffin in that fight is very, very tricky. And then I saved Devil Stars for the last fight, and I just burned through like.
Did you use them in the Star Fox bit?
Yeah, I just burned through like several, like not seven, but like five Devil Stars to just spam DT. So you shoot the dragon.
That's what I did.
Yeah.
I love this game dearly. Mm-hmm. It's probably in the bottom half of my favorite Devil May Cry games, but that's not because I think the game is bad. It's because the other games I love a lot.
That much more. Yeah.
I feel that.
It's like 1, 3, 4, and 5 are just like in this tight cluster race.
Mm-hmm.
And then we don't talk about the other ones.
A Persona 5, if you will.
Like,
yeah.
Like, I want to be clear on my end of this, too. I'm bummed that I like this game less now. This is not a good thing.
I felt that with when you were like texting me that I felt that for sure.
I was like when I fucking realized like I don't want to play this anymore, I was like devastated. I was talking to two friends about it, and I was like and y'all, and I was or at least Robin, and I was like, I was so bummed. I was so bummed.
Mm. Yeah, I was like, you found out that Santa's not real.
Yeah, that I realized it's so funny because to other people, like I've been like, oh yeah, like Kamiya does this like design decision stuff, but like I think it works for what he does. And then I replayed this, and I'm like, oh, I don't think I like it much either. Oh no,
yeah,
I was humbled in a way.
Yeah, no, I was. Yeah, it was very interesting to see your personal saga with Devil May Cry 1.
I do think like I want to give it some space and try it again at some other point.
Listen, Devil May Cry, mm-hmm. It's not you, it's me.
Yes.
I just need some time away.
It's not you, it's me, and the fact that I don't like
we
you.
We can still be friends.
I'm outside of DMC1's house playing the boombox.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Shit.
I
love this game.
Go ahead.
I love this game to death. The stupid fucking Star Fox bit at the end is some of the dumbest shit I've ever seen. I will spam Devil Stars to get through it. Fuck you for Kamiya for shoving Star Fox into my fucking hack and slash.
He loves arcade games. Let him cook. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Make them on their own. Like that's fine. Okay. For people
okay.
who enjoy that.
Okay.
It's
but
not me.
Would Bayonetta be as good as it was without the fucking Space Harrier segment?
Yes. Next question.
Actually,
or Afterburner segment. My bad.
Here's my question. You are given. This goes to both of you. I will think about this on my own end. You are given an action game that you are making, and you have to fit in your own out of genre mini game section. What genre are you putting? What square peg are you fitting into this round hole?
Rhythm game.
Which one?
It's going to be a rhythm game.
A rhythm game?
Definitely
okay.
Rhythm game.
Yeah.
Nope, Sam. Got to give a different answer. Got to give a different answer.
Fuck!
okay. The problem is, I feel like you can pretty easily envision like a rhythm game working all right.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
like, I said it because I just like dumb rhythm
yeah,
games.
Yeah, I mean, but, the, so you know like, the... I think of like the Drakengard... ending
yeah dragon, like that boss
oh okay
yeah yeah the, yeah, the dragon the... yes straight totally. Yes dragon dragoon Drakengard one with the statue yeah,
fuck I know I was there all right
and it's a
I was
it doesn't
there
have a note chart but
written.
It is a rhythm game
it's fucked up it doesn't give you a note chart and then like, I think, I'm pretty sure, like, a quarter through the fight, or, like, a little bit through the fight, it just blacks the screen out.
Tight.
That fight That's is, that up. Fight is evil. That fight is fucked up.
Answer the question, Sam.
Huh?
What? Answer what the question.
Okay. Shit, if I can't do rhythm game, I would either throw in... Okay, do I have to pick one, or can I pick, like, two?
You can pick a couple. Yeah, whatever the heart feels.
Okay. Sure.
Okay.
Whatever, yeah.
So, you know, have y'all played Danganronpa?
Yeah.
No.
So, you know the...
Go ahead.
No? Okay, so, you know for the trials how there's those little, like, dialogue things? Like, those little dialogue segments?
Sure.
Where, like, you have to pick... Like when you're doing, like, the actual, like, case, like, the actual trial... You have to, like,
I played Ace
apart,
Attorney.
Like,
is it like that?
I haven't played those. I have no idea.
Daedra, I defer to you.
Like, okay. Think of, like, Phoenix Wright. Except they made it, like, kind of an action game for some reason. And you have to, like, shoot the words.
Okay, got
so
it.
So I'd make it like that. But, like, so you have full control of your character. And you have to, like, slice the words. Like, okay. Yourself, and it would be, like, a thing where, like, it would show if you were actually paying... It would show if you were actually paying attention to the fucking story the whole time.
That would be... Oh, man, that would be such a dumb story bit.
It would.
Like, you get into an argument, you know, like, those cheesy arguments that Devil May Cry does, where, like, the protagonist is getting into a fight with the antagonist.
Or not even but that. You, it would be, yeah. it would be some shit, like, lady coming for her money from Dante, like, in the anime.
Yeah.
Yes,
and just
perfect.
Being like, and it would just be some shit like, oh, y'all have your money, and then ladies just going like, I see the fucking ice cream sundae on your desk right there. There's five
you
pizza
have to,
boxes
like, bullshit
over here.
Your way through,
and you have to bullshit your way through. You have to like slice her words in half and try to divert. That would be probably my number one. My number two would be a beat 'em up.
See, that my personal answer
like
was going to be
a
one-on-one boss fight that is a 2D fighter.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
That's good.
Can I give an alternative answer?
Absolutely.
Shove a card game into it.
Cool. Perfect.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
You get, like, little cards of the monsters you've been beating up. Like, mm-hmm. I think it could work.
Okay, yeah. So you're not thinking like a poker. You're thinking like a faux Yu-Gi-Oh or like Magic.
No. I'm thinking, yeah, like you're going to send someone to the Shadow Realm.
Oh, yes. Like, even more so.
Yeah. And then when you lose, you just, like, fight them normally.
Yeah.
I think it'd be a good bit.
No, game companies, hire us! Hire
yeah.
us! We have very, ideas!
Very game. Very game to...
Very video game.
Let me write.
So, I did want to ask real quick. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you'll be able to answer this much, Sam, but I'd still like to hear your thoughts.
Of course.
I've thought a lot about what makes DMC1 special for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's probably not the combat. I think the combat's like fine for what it is. But I don't know. I you know, like you kind of said, with Bayonetta controlling better and 3 onwards just giving you way more options and generally feeling smoother, I feel like those games kind of nail it a lot more.
Yeah.
And that's not even to shit on this game. It was...
No, it's just... It's a
setting up.
It's a reality.
Yeah, it's just how the gaming scape was at the time, mm-hmm. and I appreciate it for that. Mm-hmm. And I still enjoy the game's combat, but it's definitely a lot more simplistic.
Yeah.
And I think some of the things that really make the game land for me are just the atmosphere, the vibes, but especially the enemy design. I think the enemy design is brilliant.
Oh, agreed. Oh, no, 100%.
And I wanted to hear from y'all what were some of your favorite and least favorite enemies. And I figure let's start with favorite enemies. How Robin, do you have a favorite?
Yeah, if I'm going to go with my favorite enemies, just from a... Are we going design, like aesthetics, or are we going gameplay?
Anything.
Anything? Okay.
Whatever makes it cool to you.
From an aesthetic... I think my favorite is especially just in what Devil May Cry becomes as a series, and they are so mm-hmm. they're such a sore thumb in that lineup, and that is the basic marionette puppets.
Yeah, okay.
Nothing else, like, going forward, nothing else is like that. In that much more, like, I mean, every Devil May Cry always has a horror influence because it's about demons and the underworld, but like, you don't see, you see like weird little fucked up things, not just evil marionette puppets, like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I just think them is very... Oh, also the iteration of them, the fetishes, because they're called fetish.
Mm-hmm. Is that the flame ones?
Yeah, those are the ones that I think are hilarious, that you get a fire weapon and then the next enemy you run into is a fire enemy.
Like lights you on fire.
Yeah.
Fucked
yeah.
up.
I think a moment that has stuck out to me that I always really appreciate is your introduction to the marionettes, where it kind of almost feels like a setup to a spooky moment in a horror game. You know, like, you see the marionettes lying around, and you go get the key, and then you're about to leave, and then there's that cutscene of one throwing a knife at Dante.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's, like, suspenseful. And I love that it feels like this horror buildup into, like, action music, beat the shit out of these guys. I don't know. It feels so uniquely Devil May Cry, and I love it for that.
Yeah, and this game being so unapologetically... like, we all just bought leather trench coats because we saw The Matrix. Is
yeah.
is
totally.
So fun.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Yeah. Absolutely. Sam, did you have a favorite enemy?
If we're talking about, like, the basic enemies, probably the lizards. I like the little lizard guys, I think.
Oh, they're very cool.
I love little lizard guys. I love little lizard yeah. guys in pretty much anything. These ones I especially loved. They're just little, like, I like their little helmets. I like the little shields. They're just, I don't know. I gravitated towards them. They're pretty cool. They're really cute. And then... What else? I really like the... Yeah, I gotta go with Robin, too. I really like the puppets. The puppets are just freaky. Yeah. I like the way they... I like how you can kind of visibly see the strings. And they just have... Yeah. The way they move, the way they fucking, like, stride towards you. It's good. It's good. It's just really well put together.
They even have a move where they, like, string you up. And you're, like, hung
yeah.
there like a puppet.
That happened to me. That happened to me, like, twice, I think.
Yeah,
that happened to me a lot, actually. This front...
If we're talking
yeah.
bosses, unless you're saving that. If you're saving that, then I'll wait.
Let's talk about bosses after.
Okay.
Just because it seems like we've all kind of settled on basic enemies for this, and that's cool. I think both are worth talking about. I think my favorite... I'm with you, too, that I think the marionettes are dope.
Mm-hmm.
I love that even, like, the basic-ass enemy just has, like, a lot of moves.
Mm-hmm.
Just makes them feel interesting and cool.
Yeah.
I've really grown to like shadows.
Oh, yeah?
The little, like, shadow cats.
Yeah, shadows
I
a good
hated
boss
them
for you?
The first time I played the game.
I still fucking hate those things.
I hated them the first time I played, and I don't know, the more I've played, the more I've grown to appreciate them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they force you to actually use the game's gun, because guns just, I mean, it's not that you can ignore guns, there are other enemies that like make
I mean, guns are really strong in this game. Yeah,
guns are pretty jacked.
Guns are really strong, but they don't do your meter. You don't get any style for guns.
You do actually get quite a bit of style from the grenade gun, but that's because it's a broken piece of shit.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, you get it from grenade gun, and then don't you also get it from Phantom Beta? Not Phantom. Yes.
Nightmare Beta. Probably. I honestly haven't experimented with Nightmare Beta much, and I've been waiting to one playthrough, but I feel like I need to not do a fresh playthrough for that because of it really punishes you for it not having a lot of Devil Trigger.
Yeah.
It does. I like this game a lot, and I love exploring options with it. I completely ignored Ifrit on my first few playthroughs until I'd spent a playthrough just being like, you know what? I just want to use Ifrit for most of it.
I love Ifrit. I normally don't go for slow weapons, but Ifrit's so fun. It's just so meaty.
Ifrit is like one of my favorite weapons in the series. I fucking love Ifrit.
Also, to answer the other half of your question, I'm also answering for Sam because I know this for a fact.
How dare you?
Dislike the death and sin. Scissor than Scythe.
The spooky ghosts.
The phantoms. Oh my god.
Yeah, the phantoms.
Fuck them. They're terrible. I hate fighting those things. They suck ass. I don't give a fuck what the strategy is. The fact that they, in the fucking sewer level, when they lock you in a little goddamn plastic dome with one of them, and they're like, oh, survive, fucking asshole, and you just have to fucking try to, I lost to that fight like 20 times. I'm not even kidding. I had to restart that encounter fucking 20 goddamn times. And then when I got to the ghost ship, they're like, oh, fight another one. I was like, you know what? No. And I turned the game off. I was so fucking mad.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's understandable. I like the small ones.
Yeah, the small ones are fine. They're annoying, but they're dealable.
I like that you can one-shot them with the shotgun.
Yes, if you jump up and hit them with the shotgun, you can deal with them that way.
Which is nice.
Or you can like parry one of their hits and get in close. And I love that they kept that interaction in DMC5, except they expanded it to any gun.
I think it's in 3, too?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure at least the shotgun one is, I think.
I don't know. Anyway, I love that, but I agree that the red guys are kind of mean.
They're bastards. I don't know why are they like that. Oh
yeah, I'm trying to think of what my least favorite enemy was.
Also, the fact that they can phase through walls and still hit you is horseshit.
It's pretty fucked up.
I fucking hate that. That is mainly what got me killed so many times in that fight, because I would like dodge and then it would swing, but it would still hit me. So I'd be like, oh my god.
Yeah. I don't really like the flies very much, just because they're kind of boring.
They're just nasty they're bugs. They're kind of a nothing enemy. They're bland.
Yeah.
They're just there.
They're just kind of there.
I don't know.
They're called, I believe they're called Beelzebub.
That sounds
fun
right.
Fact probably. For you.
I don't know. They should be called boring. Oh, fuck.
No.
Oh, fuck.
How about bosses? How are we feeling about the bosses?
This is going to be a contradiction to what I just said, but I actually do love Griffin from an aesthetic standpoint. Like, I would love to see Griffin's design in this game in modern detail, because the fact that his head is like 6 bird heads just crammed into one thing, I want to see that in higher fidelity. Like, that looks so interesting. Yeah, I really like Griffin's design, despite how annoying he is to fight when you kill him finally.
My favorite, I would say, Griffin's one of those bosses where like the more attempts I took to fight him, the more I liked the fight. because like I learned like what I was like more so, like I figured out better what I was supposed to do, and it became more interesting, and I liked like his mechanics and the way like you're actually supposed to like deal with him. It was cool. It was a cool fight to learn. My favorite boss though is Nilo Angelo. Those fights rule. Those fights kick ass.
Yeah, they're cool. Yeah.
But I'm also very I'm very biased towards like humanoid fights in games like this.
Oh, just because absolutely.
I think it's cool.
Absolutely.
I really like the point that it makes, because there's a lot of like ambushes in this game.
Yes.
Where you go from like a cutscene to just like a dude swinging at you,
yep.
And if you don't react,
Kamiya
like,
loves doing loser. That shit. That's
yeah,
all over.
Carried into Bayonetta 1.
Yep, and in Bayonetta it's even worse because of the way rankings and shit work in that game.
God.
Like if you take a hit like that cheaply, you're restarting the whole level. Good luck.
Not to mention the QTEs in Bayonetta 1.
Yeah, those two, which are horseshit.
No one should have given Kamiya QTEs. That was a mistake.
Yeah, do not, tip of advice for the listener, do not fucking pure platinum Bayonetta 1. Don't do it. It's not worth it.
Yeah, that sounds like a nightmare, truth be told.
You will learn to hate that game if you do that. Do not do that.
But on the point of ambushes, I love that Virgil doesn't ambush you.
Yeah.
Like, he makes it a point to kind of, like, show up and...
He shows up and gives you...
Spoilers! Spoilers!
Yeah. We talked about Sparta at the end of the game. Like, surprise, it's Virgil.
You're here to listen to fucking video games. If you didn't think you were going to get spoiled in a podcast about a... How the fuck old is Devil May Cry 1 now? Like,
23.
14 years old?
23.
Or 20... 23? Oh,
yeah.
Oh my god, okay. I don't know why I said
I wish
14.
It was 14 years old, but I wouldn't be so old.
It came out in 2001, Sam.
Yeah, no, I'm not. Listen, I'm not good at math. I'm sorry. But anyway, there was a bit in, what is it? If you're here and you're listening to a fucking podcast about a goddamn 23-year-old video game and you're concerned about spoilers, go play the goddamn game. You can probably beat it in a shorter time than this podcast will take to edit, you know?
You can probably beat it in a shorter time than Sam did.
Oh, okay, actually, sorry, I just had to check this.
Most
you want a fucked up fact for you? you want a fucked up fact?
Fucked up facts.
DMC Devil May Cry is closer to being 14 years old. It is 11.
I remember that game coming out. Do not do this.
That makes me actually physically ill. How could you do this? What the fuck? I remember when that game was coming out. I still remember when people were fucking, because so I browsed fucking 4chan in high school, right? I browsed V, and people on V were posting rumors about the end fight of the game being Virgil in that game turning into a dinosaur.
That was the rumor.
That was the thing that was going around. That made people actually excited for it because it was funny. And then the game came out and that didn't happen. So everybody was like, what the fuck? What is this?
Yeah.
where's Dino Virgil?
That's so cool. I wish we got Dino Virgil.
If we got Dino Virgil, that game would be an instant 10. I don't even care. the rest of the game could have been exactly the same horseshit. I would have been like, but it has Dino Virgil, though.
Especially if he had the little hat.
Yeah. That's how people were drawing him, too. it was so fucking funny. It's so... Oh my god, but no, it's just, I remember, like, that and MGR came out, like, around the same time, and
yes.
And I remember, like, everybody was comparing them, everybody was going, like, oh, MGR is better than DMC, which is true, and, you know, and then the rest is history. And now every now and again we get think pieces where people go like, oh, DMC Devil May Cry wasn't that bad. And it's like, yeah, sure, if you want Bad They Live, like, sure, go ahead. Live your life, I guess.
My favorite boss might be Nightmare.
How could you do this?
Although
to me?
I like a lot of the bosses. Phantom is cool. Mm-hmm. I like that he's like kind of a beginner boss that's got some cool stuff. Mm-hmm.
That's the meanest thing you've
really
ever
like
said
Griffin.
To Sam.
Look, if you don't like my game, we can't be friends.
Listen, all I'm saying is that if if Nightmare didn't exist, maybe we would have achieved world peace by now. That's all I'm saying.
Griffin's kind of boring. I like the Nilo Angelo fights, except three, because I'm really bad at it.
Yeah, I also usually use items for Nilo Angelo.
I remember that one kicking my ass, yeah.
I didn't this time. What I did was just Devil Trigger Grenade Gun Spam.
Fair.
And that worked pretty well. I will say, on my Dante Must Die playthrough years ago, I absolutely used items on that. But yeah. I didn't use them on Nilo Angelo 2, and I was really proud of myself for that.
Hell yeah.
Good job. Nice.
Let's see here. Yeah, so, I mean, Nightmare is weird. And I definitely didn't like him at the start, but I think I've got a bit of my head around the fight now.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoy it a lot. I if nothing else, I just like how weird and ambitious it is, even if it's pretty janky. It's just, I don't know, it just is unique compared to everything else, I think.
Mm-hmm. No, it's definitely out there in terms of it's definitely going for something unique in the game's design space that is interesting.
Yeah,
I just wish I dug it more.
Yeah, like yeah, I like it totally. Conceptually. It's like freaky. It's this weird like kind of boss, but like I just think it is the most unfun fucking thing ever. It is so like I just hate dealing with all of its shit. And then and then on top of that, having to fight like the old bosses, nah, I'm good.
Yeah.
You gotta go hit the light switch, and then when you hit the light switch, it becomes solid, and then you gotta wait for the orb, and then you hit the orb,
Yeah, hitting the switch is probably like my least favorite part of it, because then you're trying to hit the switch, and it like locks onto him, and then you're just like punching the air, and it's like, awesome.
Yeah, that is an actual issue with this game, is it's really hard soft lock on.
When the lock-on works, it's great. When it doesn't work, man, do you feel it.
When I'm trying 100%. To just break a table to get some red orbs, and I just keep turning around and punching behind me because there's an enemy down the hallway.
Yeah, totally.
Exactly.
Or, like, some guy's trying to hit me, so I'm, like, I'm trying to hit him before he gets the chance, and then I, like, lock on to some other dumbass, like, somewhere across the room.
Yeah.
That's great. Love that.
Or I had one where I was trying to break something, an object I thought you could break, and there was an enemy at a completely lower elevation that I was just locked onto, even though I could not see him. We were not standing in the same area, but because we were close enough, it was just locked into him.
Totally. Does anyone else have any comments on the game?
I think that the unique space it occupies by clearly having been a Resident Evil 4 like prototype that got spun off into its own thing does give it like a really cool visual identity that sticks with it, and I think that's really cool.
Yeah, I think you really kind of feel like the Resident Evil vibes when you're just like running around and grabbing keys and like, shall I use this key? And like, yeah, what else am I going to use it on?
It's a really cool thing to have happened. And it's like, and I just love how much it just drips that everywhere all over it.
Yeah.
But like, it still manages throughout that to just carve its own thing already in the first game, which I think is mad impressive. Again, even if I like the game less, I still do appreciate it. And I still like it more than 2 and DMC.
Yeah,
I want to be very clear on that.
I genuinely like how this game story, I don't want to say nigh incomprehensible, but it is told in a very slapdash manner.
It's interesting because I think the newer Devil May Cry's always have like, I don't know, it's silly and wacky, but it kind of knows what it's doing in a way.
Yeah.
And it feels like it's kind of having fun with it. And I feel like DMC1 has none of that. It feels completely earnest, with its stupid cheeseballness.
I was supposed to fill your dark soul with light. With
light.
Yeah, exactly. And I kind of appreciate it for, like, I don't know how jankily shitty the storytelling feels.
Yeah, like the way you find out that Trish is a betrayer is it just hard cuts to her talking to a giant statue.
It's so funny. I love that fucking scene.
Hell, we start the game off with her, like, trying to murder Dante. And then he's just okay with following directions from her.
And then because after it, like, hard cuts to, like, a photo of his mom.
Because he looks like his mom. I love how stupid this game story is.
God damn you, Freud. Not again. You can't keep getting away with it.
I'm sure I've probably noticed this before, but Trish seems, like, so, like, explicitly modeled after Angelina Jolie. Like, am I off base in thinking that she looks, like, her face looks a lot like Angelina Jolie?
I would not at all. Be shocked.
I haven't thought about it, but, like, I wouldn't doubt it.
Given that, like, I mean, shit, in Silent Hill 2, right? Like, I mean, you know, not the same team, not the same studio, obviously, but, like, shit, in Silent Hill 2, I mean, like, Maria is modeled after, or her outfit, at least, is modeled after, like, Christina Aguilera's. I wouldn't, like, I'm still, like, it's a common thing. I wouldn't be shocked if she was, like, maybe an inspiration for the design.
Totally, yeah. I just felt like the face was looked a lot like her, which would have made sense. She was a big it girl around that time, so
yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, it's a thing where I like the simplistic storytelling in this one. I think it's fun. I think it's a good time. It just reminded me how much I love Devil May Cry 3's story, though.
Mm-hmm.
I
don't know if this is a hot take or not. I feel like Devil May Cry 3, like, has a decent story.
I wouldn't say that's hot. That's that hot a take. Like, I think it's the best. I think next to 5, it's, like, the best story in the series.
Like, I'm not trying to say it's, like, a storytelling marvel or anything, but, like, I don't know. I think it's solid and it's effective at what it's trying to do.
Fuck it, I'm saying it's a storytelling marvel. That shit rules. That shit's fucking. Right. That shit's fucking peak. I love DMC3's story. That shit is about. It's about two brothers on opposite ends of a power struggle. One doesn't really give a shit, and the other is insane. So it's like, you know,
and a girl whose father is a power hungry piece of shit.
Mm-hmm. And a girl caught in the middle. And a dude and a dad who's trying to take advantage of what's going on.
But no, like, I think DMC3 has a legitimately solid story.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I liked Fives as well, although it admittedly feels, I don't know, a lot of it kind of feels like fan service in a way.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't blame them. It's a thing where, like, I don't blame them for going more in that direction because, like, I look at it as they probably looked at it like, are we gonna get a 6?
Five feels like a wrap up.
Totally.
Yeah, five feels like a finale point if there's never another game, which I'm okay with.
I'm not okay with it, but I do think that the story feels very like,
mm-hmm. They could always do more with Nero.
Yeah, like, hey, we.
Yeah,
totally.
I just think they should leave Dante alone at this point.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm not okay with it, because if we're not getting another Devil May Cry, I don't know what to do with my life.
That's fair. Do you think we will be getting a Devil May Cry 1 remake?
Hmm.
Maybe, you know? Maybe if they, when they run out of Resident Evils to remake.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, is they gotta run out of DMC, or out of REs first, because, you know.
Well, hey, if the Resident Evil 1 remake turns out to be real, which it seems like it's not, that one I doubt kind of the most.
But apparently it's Code Veronica and Zero.
Which, if it is, good choices, both of those games suck ass. And my genuinely my philosophy is like, yo, if you're gonna remake something that was kind of bad.
That's why I kind of thought the RE4 remake was a bit weird. And, yeah. And don't get me wrong, it's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I don't know, RE4 was just really cool. I feel like you can just go back and play that.
No, genuinely, I am so tired of remakes of good video games. Like,
yeah,
we need more remakes of shit that was like mixed. That got like mixed reception. Like we need a you know, like I still think the original in some capacity should be made available.
Oh, of course.
But like if we're gonna live in this world of remakes and remasters and shit, I
treat it like a do-over.
Yeah, treat it like another team, or even in some cases the same team, just gets another attempt at gets another swing at the bat, you know, or gets a turn to fucking. To just try something. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It can't be worse than fucking Code Veronica. Like, or Zero. Place your items anywhere. Fuck you. I'm not doing that. Figure out your inventory system. Get out of here. Beautiful environments, though.
Understandable. Yeah. Closing thoughts?
No, I mean that's basically it for me. Yeah, I DMC right. DMC 1, a game that I enjoy maybe a little bit in spite of itself, but I still enjoy.
My closing thoughts are I'm currently in mourning. I wish I liked this game still, but. Who knows, maybe at some magical fourth playthrough somewhere down the line, maybe I'll learn to love it again. Who knows? But for now.
You and DMC1 don't talk anymore.
Yeah, we don't talk anymore, but we're on okay terms, you know.
Friendship ended with Devil May Cry 1. Xena Saga is my new best friend.
I know somebody fucking listening to this is gonna be like, she fucking likes goddamn Devil May Cry, or she likes fucking Xena Saga episode 1, but she doesn't like fucking Devil May Cry. What a hack. What a stupid idiot. And I'm gonna be like, I don't know what to tell you, okay?
You know, things change. You know, maybe next time Devil May Cry 1 will have worked on themselves and gotten a new haircut, and you'll just like them that much more.
Yeah, and then you know, and maybe I'll have changed as a person.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
and maybe I'll have the patience to deal with those motherfucking ghost enemies, that and nightmare. You know, but who knows?
Yeah. I don't know. I still love this game. It's sick.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a miserable fucking fanboy. Sorry.
No. No reason to be sorry.
Yeah, no, I don't think you're like a miserable fanboy or nothing. We all like we all got our tastes.
I got 2S ranks, so I was pretty happy about that.
That's hey, yeah. Hey. Nice.
I think the highest I got was a B.
Nice. I S ranked Nightmare 2. I thought that was pretty
cool. Nice. Yeah, that's ooh, super good.
That's cool.
Yeah. Anyway, that's going to be it. Thank you all for joining us on this third episode of the Quest Log, the Quest Log Club, even. I've been Daedra.
My name is Robin McCall.
My name is Sammy. You can find me at Transwitch Reviews or Transwitch Sammy on Twitter.
Yeah, I have YouTube again. There's still nothing there yet, but maybe there will be when this is out. I don't know.
Sounds great. Can't wait to see him. Just like we can't wait to see you all on the next episode, where we'll be covering.
We will be covering. So I was going back and forth on this a lot, because last when I did the first episode, I said that I wanted to do games that would be the syllabus of intro to games. Sometimes, not all of the time. This is going to be one of the times where we're not doing that. And so I was really thinking about what I thought would be a good thing for us to cover. I was stuck between two number two games. But I think where I've ended up is, you know, I was really thinking about it. I was looking over what's available, what would be easy for everyone to do. And I'm feeling a return to a little city called Rapture. I think it's time we go back to BioShock 2.
Two specifically.
Okay.
All right. Well, you heard it here. If you want to follow along, you can play along with us, BioShock 2, on whatever platform you prefer.
Yeah, because it's out on like everything, right?
I own this game, technically speaking, including the remasters, 3 times. I paid for 1 copy.
Yeah, I think I'm in the same boat. Like, I'm pretty sure I bought like 1 and 2 a long time ago, and then they gave me the keys for like the remasters and shit.
I rented BioShock 2 for the PlayStation 3 back in the day.
Same. I used to play the multiplayer. And I remember that way.
Oh, I liked the multiplayer a lot. I didn't play that much of it, but I thought it was fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sounds great. BioShock 2. Questlog Club. See you next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.